バルバラバルア、パッパパッパ、バルバラバルア、パッパパッパ。 If you're having trouble with your high school head, he's giving you the blues. You wanna graduate but not in his bed.
Hello everybody and welcome this evening to your one and only stop for frugality information, the one, the greatest, and the most thought out podcast here on the planet, The Bargain Den. I'm your host, Brandon Hamrick. Not certain why I said my full name or why I paused for you to say my name, but I did dang do it. I'm here with my always wonderful, always fantastic, always amazing co-host, and my marriage partner, and two-time record holder for most potatoes thrown at a brick wall, Donna. How's it going, Donna?
You know, it's going pretty good, but nothing can top the first and second time that I won that award. For the potatoes.
I would maybe...
Nothing tops that.
I would only disagree by the fact that I, in fact, hold the world record first and second place for number of carrots thrown consecutively at a group of rabbits. Do you happen to know what actually a group of rabbits is referred to as?
I like to imagine they're called, No, I don't know what.
It's called adorable. That's right. That's right. Well, we're back here with a brand new episode this wonderful Wednesday with our continued series. And that series is The Bargain Den.
At night.
We're going through all of Mr. M. Night Shyamalan's movies. And you know what? I think I'm just going to keep this energy up the whole time, you know? How's that sound? Just kind of doing a bit of like we're on a TV show. Are you okay with that, Donna?
I'm taking it. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Well, as I said, we're going through M. Night's movies and we're going all over the place, but we're getting kind of close to the end. I think we've passed the halfway mark and we decided to kick things off here. Part 8, I believe, with the 2002 film. I'm shooting from the hip here.
That's right. 2002.
Nice. Movie Signs. Directed, written, and something else by M. Night.
Produced, I think.
Oh, that was the one. 2002 Signs. This was the...
I feel like that's the trifecta of M. Night credits. You know, directed, yeah. Written, and produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, and this is what came shortly after, just a year or probably about, I guess, like two after Unbreakable. So this was, you know, we're done away with Praying with Anger. We haven't quite gotten to Wide Awake, but he had the Sixth Sense breakout hit, then Unbreakable, and now it's on to Signs. And I believe this is the start of a little bit of mixed reactions. I think the majority of people enjoyed Signs, my understanding.
Who the heck doesn't like Signs?
Well, it's sitting at a 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and then it's sitting at a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Let's check that Rotten Tomatoes score, because we always do that. Not certain why I'm making this. But, I mean, I think that's kind of the point of this series, though, has been that I called into question, you know, their renownedness and their abilities. So I feel like I must bring this up. And I'm not just maintenance in progress. Rotten Tomatoes, you're on thin ice. You haven't been on the show very long, but we didn't even have a theme song for you.
Segment.
Should we bring in a Rotten Tomatoes segment to the show?
Maybe for the Bargain Den at night, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe not, because you're just making a bit of noise. I'm going to go ahead and just use my mouse pad as a coaster there. Right on.
I'm just making some noise now so that I don't make noise later.
So it is currently sitting at the tomato meter. It's certified fresh with 74%, while the audience 67. So yeah, it's doing decent. It's a little bit over half.
Interesting, the audience seems to take to it less than the critics. I feel like typically it's the other way around. Like critics kind of poo-poo movies and people enjoy them better.
I don't know that there's a common trend on that. I think it just depends on the movies. I don't know. It makes sense to me for Signs because I think I could see it being divisive in terms of, I think it's a very well put together movie, but now upon reflection, you know, you have a large enough pool of people to pull from that. I could see some people being like, meh, you know, I could see people being poo-pooing on it basically. But before we get too much into that, let's go ahead and run through real quick the plot of Signs. We are going to spoil it. So, quick run through of it stars Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix, and M. Night himself, as well as Rory Culkin, Abigail Breslin, I already said Joaquin Phoenix. That's right. So Mel Gibson is a former reverend turned seeming atheist, Graham Hess, who, along with his brother, Merrill, Merrill's decided to move in with him after the death of Graham's wife to help raise Morgan and Beau, his son and daughter. Graham's son and daughter. Now, he is 6 months since the accident that caused the death of his wife and has renounced God. And that is when, waking up one morning, they find a set of crop circles in their cornfield. Don't you hate it when that happens?
Terrible. Meanwhile, the dogs are acting strange, and it turns out that this is also happening everywhere. There's crop circles in India.
Worldwide phenomenon.
The dogs next door are also acting hog wild, which is weird because they should be acting domestic dog. Yeah. So something's going on, and
it's aliens.
It's aliens. I mean, like, they're trying to skirt around it. It's aliens.
It's gall darn aliens. They're trying to not believe it, but it is, in fact, aliens. They have come here to Earth. They're all over the world. And what are they doing? We don't know quite yet, but it's starting to look like they're going to attack us. And so it is decided that the family on the farm here is going to hunker down and fight it out. And
Morgan gets the idea that it's alien. Like, he buys into it soonest and buys a book and starts to figure some things out. And yes. It takes the father a little longer to believe, but he ends up getting a call from his neighbor, he's the guy who was in the car accident that killed.
He fell asleep at the wheel,
having
worked too long, and surprise, it's M. Night, which, hey, brave shout out to M. Night. Be like, I'm going to be in my own movie. And who am I going to be? Kind of shy of the aliens, the biggest antagonist of the film.
Yeah.
But he's a nice guy. He wants to get forgiveness from Graham before the world turns topsy-turvy and aliens come and attack. And so Graham goes over to the vet's office to see what's up. And that's when M. Night apologizes and says, hey, also, before I leave, I got an alien in my pantry. Don't let it out.
So obviously, as any self-respecting person would do, Graham goes to check it out. I mean, you can't just leave that hanging. There's an alien in your pantry. Excuse me.
Goes and checks it out. Alien's hands like, rawr. And so Graham cuts off the alien's hands, fingers. Alien's hands.
You know, alien's hands, fingers.
Returns home. That's when it's decided that they're going to hunker down and fight it out. The aliens do invade their home. And they make a final stand where everybody's weird quirks in the family all come into play, including Merrill's, being a minor league baseball player. The fact that Morgan has, as I think I said, Graham Merrill. Merrill's the major minor league baseball player. The fact that the son Morgan has asthma, so the poison the aliens secrete does not affect him, and Beau keeps water everywhere, which. That's it.
That's the weakness.
Aliens are weak against water. They're
weak against water. It touches their skin and just psss, like it's acid.
Yes. So because of all of this, Graham and his family are safe. Graham finds God. Roll credits.
Ta-da!
What'd you think of this movie, Donna?
I loved this movie. What did you think?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think it's probably up there with one of my favorite M. Night movies. I think I like Unbreakable more. I think I like Split more. Hell, I may even like Glass more. I really like that series of films. The Sixth Sense was good. I did like it. I think it's close tie with Sixth Sense. I think a little bit above Sixth Sense. So Unbreakable trilogy, then Signs, then Sixth Sense for me.
See, I love a good alien movie, you know?
Yeah.
This is a really good alien movie, I thought.
It's a really good alien movie. And I think that it does so well what a lot of movies that kind of have a monster focus miss, which is the fact that it has such a bigger focus on not the monster, but it also doesn't shy away from showing us the monster when we want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes us wait for it, which I think is also important and good. Like, let us fear what the monster looks like.
Right.
Initially, we see just, you know, silhouettes and flashes. And then it's the hand. And then we finally, at the very end, see the full alien monster in the living room. It's very scary. Like, really, really creepy.
Let's see what some other people have to say on Letterboxd.
Box, boxed in.
Let's take a look here. What other people have to say.
That could be the Rotten Tomatoes theme.
Maybe. If you can remember it. Amaya gives it 4 stars and says, everyone who hates this movie needs to calm down and eat some fruit or something.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Rock Hand Sign Jess Rock Hand Sign gave it 3.5 stars and says, in all caps, how do you forget to bring your dog, a most beloved member of your family, inside the house during an alien invasion? Unrealistic. Fair point. But, I mean, I know they were kind of acting up, so...
Well, and I they do like their dogs, but it's also a farm.
Yeah, that's true.
I imagine the dogs probably sleep outside. You know, like, I get it. It's not like they bring their dogs in every night and they have a lot going on. I'm just saying, I don't care for that review.
I want to leave off on 2 quick reviews here. One by Sophia Rambari, who is a filmmaker. And I enjoy their work, so I recommend go check out their short films before their full length gets made. She said, I honestly think this is a perfect film. If you don't like things that are pure and earnest, that's okay. But I do. I also think it's exceptionally well shot and sound designed. I agree.
10 out of 10 review.
And then also a friend of the show, Dalton Stewart, gave it 4 stars and said, a fabulously made, character-driven thriller.
Accurate.
Now getting into this one, I want to do like a reverse shit sandwich. So I'm going to start off with a negative component, cause I think we have more good to say than bad.
So you're going to go negative, positive, negative.
I don't know.
Or is this like an open face?
I'm going to start negative. Okay. I didn't think I would be questioned too much on my reverse shit sandwich. Trying to
imagine this shit sandwich. Disgusting.
Biggest flaw of the film is the fact that it does in fact star Mel Gibson.
Why?
He did a great job, is a good actor, not a good person, very bad person.
But did we know that at the time?
No, we did not.
Can't hold that against M. Night Shyamalan or the movie.
No. I'm just saying it's kind of a bummer that he did such a good job, because he
really did do a good job.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no denying that. And I'm not holding it against the film. I was making a joke that fact. And, you know, I don't know. We don't have time to go into all the things Mel Gibson, but yeah, because he really did do a good job. I liked the awkward father reverend character, and I think it went really well. I think this is one of M. Night's biggest strengths, is when he gets actors that know how to handle the dialogue he's written.
And the awkward dialogue that he has written. I love it so much.
I mean, hearing Mel Gibson be like, I don't think I can swear. It doesn't come out of my mouth well. And Joaquin Phoenix being like, then just yell. And he's like, just like a maniac. Like, then they run around the house like, I'm going to kick your ass. Like, so funny. So good.
It's so good.
Also, I mean, then back to a compliment. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, outstanding in this, doing more than he should. I think he almost did too good of a job for this.
He was so good. Okay. Can I also just interject?
Meryl, by the way.
Joaquin Phoenix looked real good. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't look good now. I just didn't realize how handsome he was.
He's a very handsome boy. This is far from Mr. Phillips's Joker, where he's a bit of a rapscallion looking fella in that one, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like in a lot of the movies I've seen, I see that handsomeness, but he's like, you know, the bad boy, like on the fringe of society, definitely needs to take a shower, you know, like a lot of that stuff.
He's clean cut in this one.
He's clean cut and he's very handsome. He's like the all-American boy.
Yeah, I very much agree. Do you want to hear a funny thing about Mel Gibson real quick?
Absolutely.
There's not many funny things about Mel Gibson.
I remember, but just for our listeners, could you give us a very brief overview why Mel Gibson is not a great person?
So just off of memory, I mean, the thing that was major was he was pulled over for a DUI incident, I believe arrested for that. And during that, the recording was released and he said a number of very anti-Semitic things against the police officer and Jews in general. And I think just since then is really not like, I think he apologized for that, did that thing that, you know, a lot of celebrities like to be like, I'm sorry I did that, but it's kind of true, that thing, you know, like
once
the heat dies down, they're like, well, actually I can stand by my shitty beliefs. And so that is,
I'm sorry, wink.
But some fun facts about, Mr. Mel Gibson. I'm going to tell you two roles that because do you know any other Mel Gibson movies?
No, it sounds familiar. I'm sure I've seen something. Yeah,
the bigger ones are going to be the fact of the like Braveheart, and the movie
haven't
that
I haven't seen it.
It's a good one. I about went out. I about did the dad.
I've heard
thing.
It's very
you
good.
Haven't seen Braveheart.
I mean, yeah, I've heard
it's good. I mean, he did all the Lethal Weapons, The Patriot. Growing up, actually, one that I really enjoyed, and I don't think it's actually one of his more well known ones, but was Ransom, and it's just about I think it was called Ransom. Now I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. It was about, was it Payback? No, it wasn't Payback. He was like huge in the 80s and 90s.
I don't think I've seen any of the movies that you've said.
Mad Max, The Expendables.
Wait, was he in the Mad Max that we saw?
No, okay, not that one.
Then no, I haven't. No.
There it is, Ransom. Yeah, Ransom was really good. He also played John Smith in Pocahontas.
The animated Disney?
Yes.
Okay, I have seen that one.
He also...
Wait, but that's fitting, though, because John Smith was kind of a...
Yeah. Yeah, you could look at it that way. He was also Rocky in Chicken Run, the main dude.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that one's pretty crazy, huh? You need to rewatch that
one. I mean,
he's
also kind of a dick, though.
It's true.
So...
Let's move on from Mel Gibson. I don't want to talk about him anymore.
I loved Chicken Run.
It's been
years.
That's
not what we're here for, but that's like, that might be one of the better movies of my childhood.
This also features a very, very young Abigail Breslin. So young.
She's like six.
She was in Little Miss Sunshine, Zombieland, and others.
She was in August Osage County.
Yeah.
Talk about depressing.
So this has a really star-studded cast, including M. Night himself. You know, I'm trying to think. I mean, joking about Mel Gibson aside, like, I think the only downsides to this film is that, like, it is all just very, very good. There weren't many components to it other than the scares. Very good scares. I don't know. There's not a ton about it that, like, shoots it to like my favorites. You know what I mean? I can't think of much to complain about it. And that's not even, again, I guess it's just it. I can't say there's much about it that I want to hold against it other than I'm like, yeah, it was good, you know?
So like nothing's going to stick in your brain a year from now. Nothing.
That's
like,
not even that true. Cause I mean, that scene where that alien walks by in Brazil, that was the scariest thing I had ever seen as a child. It like scarred me.
Oh my God. I used to chase that feeling on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like there's a whole niche for that.
And I was actually going to bring that up. I remember watching it and thinking, I think that this film, this style of horror, like M. Night created here, I think you could probably trace back like the history of creepypasta style posts and weird, upsettingly vague internet horror to this movie. Because there's so much of it, just the, like, from the, like, being in the crop field and having the one leg pull back in and, like, where it's just like just barely trying to sneak it and scare you. And, like, it does it in this just real weird way. And also, like, we do see the aliens, but they're, it's like very dark. And, like, I think it did well. 'Cause, like, watching it this time, some of the CG is,
it's not, it's 2002.
It's 2002. But using like quick cuts and realistic dark lighting, not like weirdly dark lighting, like right. when it's in the it's living like, room.
Finally, because that's how a house actually looks in the daytime.
Yeah, that is very true. It's kind of a gorgeous shot because it's like I can forgive the fact that I can tell it's CG because, I mean, it's done so well. It is done so well, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also uses like the reflection off of the TV, which, you know, you could do your whole thing about, you know, that could be a whole thesis paper, I feel like.
I mean, seriously, I saw, like, I was looking at the IMDb and there's a picture of the movie, which is Meryl standing in the doorway watching the alien with, like, the TV's over, it's taking up the right third of the screen where the alien is, like, perfectly on that, like, third line, you know? Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Like, that is, like, top-notch composition. So cool. Anyway.
Yeah. So let's do some quick trivia real quick. There's a couple
trivia.
Here. The artwork in the book about extraterrestrials was done by writer and director M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, Celica Shyamalan.
That's cool as shit.
Yeah.
That's the coolest shit.
Super cute and cool.
They were really cool drawings, too.
Yeah. Oh, this is sweet. The story of the children's birth are actually the stories of M. Night Shyamalan's two children. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was like the sweetest moment in the whole movie, too.
Ugh, yeah, it was very sweet.
I cannot. M. Night.
Apparently, Joaquin Phoenix replaced Mark Ruffalo for that role, who had to pull out of the film due to a brain tumor.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I didn't know Ruffy had a brain tumor. Yeah, is that where you can call him that now?
I wanted to get... I didn't know Ruffy had a tumor. Oh, no. Yeah, but it was later found to be benign, is what obviously, since he's the Hulk. So,
well, I mean, he could have a successful extraction of malignant.
Yeah. Not a medical show.
Sorry. Anyway, I wonder.
Didn't need to correct me on the medical facts.
I loved Joaquin Phoenix in this. Great. I wonder what it would have been like with Mark Ruffalo.
A little bit more awkward, I feel like. Yeah. The crop circles are real. Apparently, M. Night had those made. Doesn't say how, but it's impressive. Well,
they tell us how in the movie.
Oh, right.
Apparently, two or three guys can go out there with a board and some string and get it done in a night, she said. The cop said.
Apparently, some other alternative titles for this before Signs were the Alien Bulletin and Visitors. I mean, Signs.
Yeah, Visitors is a decent second option, but Signs was good. I think that was good.
M. Night said this was the easiest of all of his movies to write and direct, which is very interesting.
I wonder if that's because it was so personal.
It was. You know, and I wonder, too, if that has a lot to do with some of the maybe quote-unquote misfires. I think that's maybe a pejorative way to put it. But, I mean, some of the ways later films don't land as well as the earlier works is because they're not personal. So, like, obviously Old didn't happen to him. I mean, I guess he's getting old, but...
I think that's why Old maybe is kind of personal. Well, I mean, it's not as personal though. I see what you mean.
Right. There's also, I mean, aliens didn't happen.
Well,
just real quick, this last trivia here. The Brazilian video was shot with a household camcorder by M. Night himself. That's neat.
Hell yeah, M. Night. So he really is like the father of spooky internet videos.
Maybe, yeah.
Grainy, spooky home footage of aliens and other... Oh, what's the word?
Creepypasta?
Cryptids.
Cryptids, yeah. It's just a really good alien movie. Like, I'm having a hard time thinking... Like, it's a really good scary alien movie. I think shy of like, you know, Alien and Aliens and stuff.
I haven't seen those.
We got to watch those. Those are very good. This is a quick sidebar off of, well, let's wrap this up. I had a couple of ideas I wanted to throw at you, and we'll do it on the show. Cause why not?
Okay. I have a story to tell too.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, afterwards. Okay. Sorry. Anything else you want to talk about Signs? I think it's a great movie. I think we should, if you're wanting to go through M. Night's work, but only a handful, I think Signs is a definite, you definitely should watch Signs.
Right. Yeah. Signs, the Unbreakable trilogy, and Sixth Sense, I think, are kind of up there and like, yeah.
Yeah. Which right. is interesting because what that's pulling towards is still his, well, I guess no, we're kind of split still. So never mind. I won't.
Split. No, I thought this was a really great movie. I thought the acting was stellar. I fully felt in this world. I wanted to talk about the M. Night trademarks apparent in this movie, one of which, of course, being that it's set in the Northeast.
Yes.
And actually, I feel like there were a lot of similarities with The Happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead of having the couple fighting, he has
one of them dead.
Dead. One of them's dead. So that's a thing. But I'd say in a way,
him and God are fighting.
Him and God are fighting, and that's kind of the third person in that marriage. You know what I mean?
I want to say a quick thing. I don't think that you can have a couple arguing as a trademark of M. Night because conflict.
I shouldn't say trademark, itself. But maybe motifs. Of M. Night, like M. Night, like it's not specific to M. Night, but it is a hallmark, maybe that's the word, of M. Night movies. Like that's something that is recurring.
I really want to push against this as a pro M. Night thing that yes, I think a lot of his films, even the majority of them have two characters in conflict that we can find, but I feel like it actually is more of a like disservice to him to say that all of his films just have people arguing. Like,
because no, I'm just saying that's like a hallmark. That doesn't mean all of them have. Well, I mean, any good movie has conflict, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying it's funny how a lot of his movies deal with couples who are fighting. And like this one, like a lot of his others, also have young children involved. And I feel like that's maybe emerging as a bit of a hallmark of M. Night films is the young kids, especially a son. And I do wonder if that is a reflection of his life, like you were saying, where based on just watching his movies, I'm going to wager that he had his son first and then a daughter a few years later, just like in the movies.
All right, then. So what was your story?
No, I have more.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we talked about the awkward dialogue.
What else is trademark? Just going to say every component of like...
What else is
very... I don't have any more.
Do you think this movie fits within the lexicon of M. Night?
Look, you're the one creating this trademark. Like, is this
categorically M. Night Shyamalan?
This is something I'm not understanding or getting behind. Do you think you
would recognize it? If you didn't know it was M. Night and you just watched this movie, would you be like, damn, that's like an M. Night film?
I want to play along, but
is there a big twist? I think it's categorically M. Night.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want you to play in the space with me.
I want to play in the space with you. I can't get my head there. I'm not trying to be a dick about
it's
it.
It's just a game of similar and different. Is this movie similar to other movies and why?
I see what you're saying, and I think it's a segment that we should keep doing. I just think that you're the one with those eyes, those abilities. So you'll be the M. Night barometer for us here on the podcast. If it's categorically, is it a Cat 5 M. Night or is it a Cat 4 M. Night?
We'll have to watch them all before we have a really good.
Sure. Good
idea of the range of M. Night films.
Right, but you know, yeah, definitely. I mean, just we'll keep kind of picking up to make sure that these are hitting the marks and not, and then we'll go back through and see what are the quintessential M. Nights.
So my story is that I watched this when I was very little, and I'm almost certain I did not watch all of it. I think I was not supposed to watch it, or maybe partway through, my parents realized it was scary and decided I should go to bed, or whoever it was, a babysitter, whatever. I just remember going to bed and from my bedroom seeing the lights, like the street lights from streets over, you know, and that's how the alien lights look in the movie, right? And I was like convinced that I was going to die. So,
you know, it's really funny. I watched this film when I was very young, too young to be watching it, with my grandmother who was babysitting me. And I got to the alien walk by in the Brazilian handheld camera thing and stopped watching it as well. So very similar. Yeah. This freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah. I think that's the first time I can remember anyway, being genuinely shook by a movie.
Not for me. I used to really hate scary movies.
Aww.
They used to terrify me. Like really early on, I heard the two I remember really scaring me were Sleepy Hollow, which is the Headless Horseman movie with Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Spooky.
Very spooky. And then Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
Also spooky.
I thought it was terrifying.
I have zombie dreams on a regular basis.
You do. It's very strange. We're not a very big zombie household either. Okay, that's going to do it for us. I was going to just ask you, as far as like after this is like, I may cut this out. I don't know. But after The Bargain Inn at Night, and you know, we'll maybe have some regular episodes and stuff. But I was just, I was thinking two movie series that I want to go through with you, here on the show and in, you know, real life. I want to rewatch all the Mummy movies.
I've only ever seen the original Mummy, and I've seen it probably 100 times, not an exaggeration.
I mean, would you be down to rewatch them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love that. I saw a clip of that the other day, and I was like, I want to rewatch those. It's been a minute. And then the Alien trilogy. All the Alien movies.
Okay.
And yeah, I feel like
does that include Terminator and... Wait, Predator?
Predator. I was like, what? You're actually not far off. Alien and Terminator share some stuff.
Sci-fi movies that I've been told that, what, you haven't seen it?
No, it's fine. Aliens are very, very good. I mean, like, yes, Predator, meh. But, I mean, there is an Alien
versus... But they cross over.
Yeah, they do Alien, AVP, Alien versus Predator, which is actually when I got into the series as a kid. I don't know. Maybe we should just, I don't know what order we'll do that in, but cause there's a ton of Alien movies. Like 5 or 6, but yeah, I don't know. We'll figure that out. I would just like to watch those. If you're listening and you have any suggestions for films and stuff you want us to get through, film series, directors you want us to look at, anything, we may not listen to you cause we like to watch stuff we want to watch here at The Bargain Den, but nonetheless, we will open our ears and our hearts and consider them deeply.
The Bargain Den has really grown and evolved, you know?
Hey, it's the 200s, baby. Anything could happen.
We are so far past digging our grubby little paws in the big old bargain bins.
Yeah, we really are. That was the original conceit. If you're new to the show, I guess we haven't actually ever explained that. If you're new to the show and you haven't been with us since the early episodes, you don't have to go back and listen to them. That's fine.
Well, we'll just tell you that the original premise was that we would go to a literal bin of movies and pick one out at random as a bargain, like the ones that were discounted.
So if you don't know, if they don't have this where you're from, I don't know. We had a store. It was a little mom and pop called Walmart. And in Walmart, what they would have were these probably like 5 foot in diameter bins, and that were, you know, maybe 5 feet tall almost.
Yeah, you could like reach in. I'd say like four feet. Yeah.
It was important to know that foot difference. So we would just,
cause you can reach in. If it was 5 feet, I wouldn't be able to see. Go ahead.
Anyway, as Donna said, it was filled to the brim of DVDs. And so we would both reach in, and then whatever we pulled out, that was the movie we would watch. Now, when we want to watch a random movie, we take a D20 dice and roll it twice on a random streaming service.
Sometimes 3 times to determine which streaming service.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it'll land on something that we can't watch, like a 12-season TV show or something.
And sometimes it'll land on something we've already done for the bargain din.
And sometimes it'll land on something and we'll both go, I don't really want to watch that. And then we'll spend 30 minutes trying to find something, not be able to find something, and realize we shouldn't have gone against the dice. Wish that was a bit.
The movie.
Yeah. Wish that was a bit, but we have learned, don't go against the die.
That's happened at least 3 times, I think.
Yeah. Don't go against the die.
Just do what it lands.
It's always been worth it. No, not true. But anyway, you want to thank some people?
First, I want to thank you, Brandon, for doing this podcast with me. I appreciate you being here and putting in the work.
I appreciate you too, Donna. Thank you.
I also would like to thank Sarah Anastasia, who created our thumbnail art, and the Lounge Kittens for the use of their cover of Dirty Deeds that we use as our intro and outro. And I'd also like to thank Anchor for hosting our podcast and sending it to wherever you listen to us. And if you want to send us a voice message, you can do that on anchor.fm, anchor.fm/thebargaindin, I think. And I also want to thank our bargainer,
Jack3245. Thank you, Jack. 3245, Jack. Jack3245.
Jack, Jack, Jackity, Jack.
That was the last person to leave a review for us on iTunes Podcast. You can become our bargainer too if you log on to iTunes Podcast. Leave us a little review. We'll see it there. Read your name on the show and say thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brian.
And thanks, John.
We'll name you the bargainer. You can also leave us a review elsewhere if you just send us an email to thebargaindincast@gmail.com or hit us up on our social medias. Let us know about it, and we will deem you the bargainer that way as well. We just don't check all the billions of places that have reviews for podcasts.
And then we'll thank you as well.
I said that.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Sarah. I just wanted to say a name that wasn't a male name.
Yeah. Well, I said Braun.
Braun.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
LeBron James.
Well, thanks, LeBron. We appreciate it. You're just out there shooting dunks.
I would love that reveal. Like, we've got our moms and LeBron James.
That's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, our moms. My name is Brandon.
My name is Donna.
We'll be back next Wednesday for a brand new episode. Pinch those pennies.
And stay frugal.
Carrots.
Can't.
Even.
Care.
About.
Calloused.
Toes.
Crawling.
Cantankerous.
Cornfields.
If you got a lady and you want her gone, but you ain't got the guts, she keeps nagging at you, not